Welcome to the Biblical Languages Podcast, brought to you by Biblingo. We bring together the latest research in linguistics, language acquisition, and biblical studies to better understand the biblical languages and ultimately the biblical text. As always, this episode is brought to you by Biblingo, the premier solution for learning, maintaining, and enjoying the biblical languages. Visit biblingo.org to learn more and start your 10-day free trial.
Galatians 3:22 in Greek reads, Alla sin eklesin he grafe ta panta hypo hamartian. Hina he evangelia ek pisios Iesu Christu dothe tois pisteusin. We can translate this as, but the scriptures shut up everything under sin, so that the promise from pisteos Iesu Christu might be given to those who are faithful. The only phrase left untranslated in this sentence has led to a tremendous amount of scholarly sparring, which I myself have taken part in. It is the phrase, ek pisteos Iesu Christu, and the debate is called the Pistis Christu debate. It centers around how to understand the relationship between the words pistis, usually translated faith or faithfulness, and Jesus Christ. Most translations translate this as faith in Jesus Christ. This is called the objective genitive position. A significant portion of the scholarly world thinks it should be translated faithfulness of Jesus Christ. This is called the subjective genitive position. In my own work, I have claimed that both of these understandings of the Greek are misguided, especially translating the phrase as faith in Jesus Christ, which is grammatically impossible. For all the details, you can go to my article in the Journal for the Study of the New Testament, which you can find a link for in the description. Here, I will give the Reader's Digest version and show why a third interpretation fits the grammar and context much better. My translation of this phrase is the Jesus Christ faith, where it is the faith about Jesus the Christ that is being referred to. Let's start with the objective genitive camp, who claim the phrase should be translated faith in Jesus Christ. As we said, most translations hold to this, but I argue that it is not grammatically possible. Why? Essentially, there is another indisputable way to say faith in Jesus Christ in Greek, and in fact, it is found just 4 verses later in verse 26, which says, Dia tes pisteos en Christo Iesu, through having faith in Jesus Christ. The main difference between this phrase and what we see in Galatians 3:22 is that pistis goes with a genitive in verse 22, but it goes with a prepositional phrase in verse 26. There is a clear difference in syntax, and with the difference in syntax comes a difference in meaning. We see the same thing in English when we compare belief of with the genitive of, and belief in with the preposition in. These don't mean the same thing. Saying Tom's belief in Mary is reasonable is not the same as Tom's belief of Mary is reasonable. The phrase belief in someone means that you believe someone has an ability to do something. The phrase belief of someone means that you believe something someone has said is true. I am not suggesting that pistis and belief mean the same thing. I am suggesting that just as belief in and belief of mean something different, so also pistis en or ace and pistis plus the genitive mean something different and should not be translated in the same way. Because we know that pistis en means something like have faith in, we shouldn't understand pistis plus the genitive in the same way. So that is the basic problem with the objective genitive position. What about the subjective genitive? Why shouldn't we understand the phrase as the faithfulness of Jesus Christ? There are two grammatical problems with this. First, it is unclear what Jesus Christ is faithful to in this context. Those who advocate for this interpretation do not say that Jesus has some abstract quality of faithfulness from which the promise comes, but that he is faithful to God's plan, or to his death, or something to that effect. The issue is that Paul never actually says what Jesus is faithful to in the 7 times the phrase is used in his letters. Why wouldn't Paul just say that Jesus was faithful to God's plan if that is the meaning he was trying to convey? We would at least expect him to finish the phrase in 1 of the 7 times he uses it, but he never does. The second grammatical problem is the lack of the article on pistis. The article in Greek is not the same as the article in English, but one of its characteristics is that it is normally present for nouns that refer to events or states, as pistis should under the subjective genitive interpretation. We actually see this in the verse about having faith in Christ Jesus that we mentioned earlier. Verse 26 says, Dia tes pisteos en Christo Iesu, where the article is present with pisteos, when we should interpret it as a state. This is the norm for this meaning of the noun pistis. And this brings us to the third view. A dictionary like BDAG lists a possible meaning of pistis as what someone believes or has faith in. But while they claim this meaning begins as early as Paul in the New Testament, they only give a handful of references. This might be because this meaning is often associated with the article. So some expect he pistis for this meaning. But ironically, the article is not required for this meaning and is routinely absent when we compare pistis to other similar nouns. For example, we can look at another noun like apokalypsis. This noun can refer to the act of revealing or the thing revealed, just like pistis can refer to the state of having faith or believing, as well as the thing believed. There are clear examples where apokalypsis refers to the thing revealed without the article, even when the revelation is a unique revelation where the article would be required in English. So in Romans 16:25, Paul says, Kata apokalypsin musteriu chronois aionios sesigemenu, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for many ages. Here, the revelation being referred to is the thing revealed. It is the mystery itself. There is no article, even though the correct translation into English requires the definite article, the revelation. This is not to say that this meaning never occurs with the article. We see a clear example of this meaning of pistis as the faith in Galatians 1:23, where Paul's description of himself says, The one who was formerly persecuting us is now preaching the faith, evangelistai ten pistin, which he was formerly trying to destroy. While this meaning of pistis is occasionally found with the article, it is routinely found without it. But the meaning advocated for by both the subjective and objective genitive positions almost always occurs with the article. Part of the reason for this is because bare singular nouns in Greek, without the article, are not the same as indefinite nouns in English, with the indefinite article a. But that is for another time. So why should we interpret the noun pistis as referring to the faith about Jesus Christ, or the Christ faith, in this context? First, the promise spoken of comes from, ek, the Christ faith. This makes sense if the faith itself is a message that can be preached, which is exactly the meaning we saw in Galatians 1:23. In other words, the promise is part of the message of the faith. Second, the next verse necessitates that we interpret faith as a thing and not as a state, as both the subjective and objective genitive positions must maintain. This is because the faith is said to come, where it says in Greek, protou de athein ten pistin hyponomon efrurumetha. Before the faith came, we were detained by the law. It makes no sense to say this is anyone's faith or faithfulness, whether ours or the Messiah's. The clause says that the faith was revealed. Again, this cannot be said of a state, such as us being faithful to the Messiah or the Messiah being faithful to God's plan. Because pistis must refer to the faith in verse 23, it strongly suggests that the faith is being referred to in verse 22. Particularly, both references to faith have the same relationship to the context. There was a time before the faith came when the scriptures, or the law, imprisoned everyone. But the revelation of the faith releases those who believe from that position. Now comes the big question. Who cares? How does this third view interpretation help us to understand what Paul is saying? In this interpretation, the Christ faith refers to something that can be preached and adopted. So what was actually being preached? This is given by the genitive, Jesus Christ, or Jesus the Messiah. This interpretation highlights Jesus' messiahship as the central message of Paul. In fact, after saying that the Torah detained people until the faith comes in verse 23, Paul immediately says that the Torah was a tutor or guardian until the Messiah came in verse 24. In other words, the coming of the faith and the coming of the Messiah are in parallel in verses 23 and 24. Although more than something to be preached, the Christ faith is not less than the message of Jesus as the Messiah, a message that demands faithfulness to the Messiah. This message tells the story of Jesus the Messiah's faithful death, resurrection, and exaltation. And it is through the Christ faith that God transforms people into obedient members of his kingdom.
Thank you for listening to the Biblical Languages Podcast, brought to you by Biblingo. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast app and leave us a review. You can also follow Biblingo on social media to discuss the episode with us and other listeners. And don't forget to visit biblingo.org to start your 10-day free trial of Biblingo.